by the unending compassion of His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, we are together for another evening in Sri Mayapur Dham. Yesterday, we concluded our narration with Lord Chaitanya weeping upon the disappearance of his beloved father and devotee, Jagannath Mishra. Sometimes people consider this confusing. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or Nimai, is Krishna himself. Krishna spoke in Gita, Najayate mriyate vakadachit nayambhutva bhavita panabhuya, that the soul is unborn, it is eternal, primeval, and never dies. Nahanyate hanyamane sarire, that with the end of this body, it has absolutely no effect on the eternal existence of the soul, the Atma. And Krishna explains that the wise men lament neither for the living nor the dead. So why is Nimai lamenting? And why is Sachi Mata, who is Yashoda Mai herself, one of the crest jewel of all Nitya Siddhas, the supreme personification of Vatsalya Ras from Goloka Vrindavan? Jagannath Mishra is Nanda Maharaj, her eternal husband. They could never be separated. Why do they cry? This is one of the great and deep mysteries of bhakti. And all the mysteries of bhakti could to some extent be understood theoretically by our intelligence, which is properly guided by the philosophy of Siddhanta. But to actually understand it within the heart, only possible by the grace of the Lord. Ye yatamam prapadyante tam stataiva bhajamyaham mamavart manuvartante manushya bharata sarvasha. Krishna tells in Gita, as we surrender to Krishna, Krishna reveals himself accordingly. And actually, this applies to every aspect of life. How we see each other, how we see the general people of this world, how we see material nature in all her variegatedness, how we see good times, bad times, how we see birth, old age, disease, and death is according to how Krishna reveals himself. You see, the body is a sacred vehicle. A sacred vehicle by within this world by which it can be utilized to develop love for Krishna and to serve Krishna with that love. And the relationships between devotees, physically, emotionally, spiritually, they are all one. Love for a Vaishnav is one of the most intimate ways of showing our love for Krishna. Srila Prabhupada would sometimes quote the common saying in the West, love me, love my dog. Because in the West, people really love their dogs. And if you disrespect the dog, it's even worse than disrespecting the person. Mad bhakta pujap yadika. Krishna tells that worship of my devotee is more pleasing to me than worshiping me. Because my devotee has given his or her life, soul, everything for my service. Sadhunam hridayam mayam, sadhunam hridayam dvaham. Durvasa Muni was a great yogi. He had perfected many of the siddhis. He lives. We know when he was born. It describes in the scriptures, but there's no record of his leaving. He's just always around somewhere, whether we see him or not. But with all his powers, all his fame, he practically went nowhere without his disciples. And he just brought a few of his disciples with him. 60,000. That was his traveling party. Now I'm seeing Gauranga Prabhu, who's cooking for about 4,000 here now. Imagine every day 60,000. 365 days a year. Different place every time. Quite a person. But he could not understand this simple grihastha, Ambarish. He was a king, but he was a very simple, pious person. And a great devotee. And the knowledge, power, the yogic perfections that Durvasa Muni had, he couldn't understand how dear Ambarish was to Krishna. And when he made an offense and he went to Lord Vishnu for refuge, Vishnu told him this: because my devotee has given his or her life to me, I have given my life to my devotee. Because my devotee knows nothing but me, I know nothing but that devotee. That's the reciprocation of love for Krishna. I was just thinking like this today, because there's so many lessons we could just learn at every moment if we just want to learn. Because I got very bad cold or something like that. So this morning, I went on a veranda and sat in the sun. And the sun is radiating his heat upon me. And the way the sun, when you feel the sun on you, when you actually like the sun on you, if you don't like the sun on you, you don't get this experience. But if you like the sun, the feeling of the sun on you, you're thinking, the sun's just for me. But isn't it amazing? Everybody in India, everybody in Asia, in the Middle East, wherever, half of the world, every person could go out and have the same experience. The sun is mine. The sun is shining for me. It's not that if somebody, I'm in the Gauranga Bhavan, if somebody in the Lotus building goes out and they say, why is the sun with Radhanath Swami? Why not me? It doesn't matter whether you're young or old or whatever your color, whatever your religion, whatever your education, however many Mangalartis you went to. Still, when you go out into the sun is giving you the same benefits, the same sunshine, the same vitamin D as everybody else. It's actually very intimate. Krishna says in Gita that I am the light of the sun and the moon. Krishna Surayasa Mayahoya Andhakar. Krishna's like the sun and Maya's like darkness. And in the Gayatri Mantra, we honor Krishna, who is present and giving heat, giving light, giving life, giving illumination to the whole creation. And that illumination is the energy, and the energy is Sri Radha to everyone. And the sun is just a temporary material manifestation in one tiny little universe. Krishna's Sarva Karana Karanam, the cause of all causes. He's the supreme source of all light. From him emanates the Brahma Jyoti, the brilliant spiritual light that pervades the entire existence. There's no limit. That's Krishna's power, to reciprocate with each and every one of us. There are unlimited living beings. How many living beings are in Navadvip? Consider every insect, every plant, tree, grass, every animal, bird, microbe, bacteria, germ. How many living beings are in our bodies? We can't even count those. What to speak of the entire earth? What to speak of the entire universe? What to speak of the entire cosmic manifestation of unlimited universes with unlimited life in every universe? And that's just a mere fraction. Material existence is only a fraction of the Paravyoma, the spiritual existence, where there are unlimited living entities residing within the Brahma Jyoti. And there are unlimited living entities in unlimited Vaikuntha planets. And Krishna's personally with everyone. He's the Paramatma in every living being's heart. And that Paramatma, even though he's the same Paramatma in everyone's heart, he's your Paramatma. He's my Paramatma. He's our special, private Paramatma. It's not that they have shifts. That one Paramatma is with you as long as you're within creation. And he's personally yours. He knows your every desire. He knows your every thought, your every word, your every action in the past, in the present. And he's your friend. He's your well-wisher. He's your ultimate lover. The Upanishads describe like two birds in the same tree. One bird is trying to find happiness by eating fruit. Sometimes the fruits are bitter and he suffers, and sometimes they're sweet and he finds a little happiness.
but he wants more. He needs more.
The other bird is just sitting. Just turn to me, and you'll be forever happy. That's Krishna. As a Paramatma, he's personally yours 24 hours a day. Now, when a respectful person is next to you, you know, you usually don't say, I'm going to sleep. We sleep. Most people sleep half their lives. But Paramatma never sleeps. He's awake, fully conscious, with full love, just waiting. That is Krishna. So within this world, the body is very sacred for Vaishnavas because it's the means by which we share our love for Krishna with each other. Jagannath Mishra is Nanda Maharaj. He went back to Goloka. So for that, it's happiness. But for Sachimata and Nimai, within this earthly lila of theirs, the medium of the body by which they could share their love for Krishna was no longer there. And therefore, such tears of separation, those tears in separation of a Vaishnava, they water the seed of our devotion. They bring us closer to Krishna. In that separation, we keep a very dear and intimate relationship with the soul of that departed Vaishnava and with Krishna. Narottam Das Thakur, he sings this beautiful song, Jaya Nilo Premadana. Weeping in separation from those devotees who are no longer physically with us. Srila Prabhupada called it union in separation. On the material level, when somebody's gone, they are gone. And the tears from a dead person on the material platform are simply the agony of the dissolution of a relationship forever. But on a spiritual platform, because we're always connected through Krishna, those tears of separation are actually a sweet, intimate union. In Krishna, we are united forever. In the very beginning days of our society, Srila Prabhupada would say, if you are chanting Hare Krishna and I am chanting Hare Krishna, we are always together. So what is the love between Sachimata and Jagannath Mishra? Between Nimai and his father. That love is being expressed in Vipralamba, in that separation. And therefore, when we hear it with a proper faith and understanding, how it intimately awakens our love for Krishna and for each other. As we were saying, Sachimata, she lost her 8 daughters. She lost her eldest son. Now she lost her husband. They didn't have any wealth. Jagannath Mishra was a true Brahmin. Whatever was given to him, he used it for the, whatever was for that day, he would use it to supply for his family in a very simple way, and for the worship of Krishna. And the rest he would give away in charity. It was really a day-to-day existence. That's the way Brahmins lived. And he didn't have a job. It's just whatever came. He was a great scholar. But in those days, Brahmins did not charge. They would teach out of goodness and whatever came. So Satchimata really didn't have any money. There was no life insurance policy. There was no will with an inheritance. She had this little boy who was just about 8 years old and nothing in the house. And now her husband's gone. But when she understood that Nimai is all I have, when she saw Nimai, when she felt Nimai's affection, she was the most blissful person in all of creation. One day, after some years has passed, Nimai was becoming the greatest of the teachers in all of Navadvip. Satchimata was considering Nimai's marriage. When Nimai was just a child, now he was about 16, we're going forward. When he was a child and he used to play in the river, there was one lady, her name was Lakshmi Priya, a little girl. She was just a little girl. She was so devotional. She loved Krishna so much. And whenever Nimai would come, he was just a little child then too, she would just lovingly offer all the garlands and all the prayers and all the foodstuffs that she brought for Krishna. With complete faith that there was nothing better, even though she didn't know he was Krishna. So years later, Nimai happened to be coming back from his teaching students at the Ganga, and on his way home, he happened to see Lakshmi Priya. Their glances touched each other for just a moment. But in that moment, their eternal love was kindled, awakened. She is an expansion of Sri Radha. She's Lakshmi Devi. They embraced each other in the very core of their hearts. And he went home and she went home. They didn't say a word to each other. They didn't even look for more than a moment. Meanwhile, by the Lord's own divine arrangement, one Brahmin named Vanamali, he was like the Navadvip marriage board. Nobody said anything to him. He just got this inspiration. And he went to Satchimata and said, there's a great pure Brahmin named Ballabhacharya. Not the same Ballabhacharya of the Pushti Marg, the Bengali Ballabhacharya. He said, he has such a beautiful, chaste, loving, devotional daughter, and she will just be perfect for Nimai. And he wasn't just doing this as a job. He was doing this with deep devotion. He really felt, he really wanted to do something wonderful for these beautiful people. And Satchimata said, Nimai's young, he's only 16. And he's totally engrossed in his studies. And his father, has recently departed, it's not the right time. Vanamali was brokenhearted. He left, was looking down, was kind of crying, was walking away, and he happens to meet Nimai in the road. Nimai said, "Tell me, where have you been? How have you been? What is the news?" And he said, "I just came from your house." "Oh, why did you go to my house?" "I made this proposal to your mother, but she rejected it." Nimai was totally silent. He went home. And when he saw Sachimata, oh, she was so happy to see him. She had his prasad prepared for him. And she understood, it was her desire, her wish in her heart that there would be somebody who could be there at home to serve him and make him happy. He said, "Mother, Vanamali Pandit came here?" She said, "Yes." He said, "What was wrong with his proposal?" Then he walked away. That's all that had to be said. You see, in those days, people could be quite concise, especially when they love each other. You could understand. So he just went into his room, and immediately Sachimata was so happy. She ran and sent somebody to Vanamali Pandit, and Vanamali Pandit came back and she said, "Yes, immediately, let's arrange the marriage." Vanamali Pandit went to Ballabhacharya and said, "The crest jewel of all Brahmins, the greatest of scholars, the most beautiful person of all of Navadweep is the son of Jagannath Mishra and Sachi Devi. His name is Nimai Pandit Vishwambar. You know him?" He said, "Of course, everyone knows Vishwambar." He said, "Sachimata has agreed to accept your daughter as his wife." "Oh, what a good fortune." And soon there was a beautiful marriage. There's a wonderful description of that marriage in Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat. And at that point, Nimai and Lakshmi Priya, they set the ideal example of how grihasthas should live. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. Krishna, Lord Sri Chaitanya is Radha and Krishna in one form to spread prema bhakti through prema sankirtan. But he appeared in the role of his own devotee. And when he married Lakshmi Devi, although they are the supreme enjoyers, when you go to Ranga Kshetra, you see Ranganath. Ranganath means the Lord of Lakshmi. Tirupati. Tiru is a name of Radha. I mean Lakshmi. He's the Lord of Lakshmi. And she's always on his chest. Or there's always a Padmavati, an expansion of Lakshmi. Radha Krishna, Lakshmi Narayan. Temples are, and Shiva Parvati are their expansions. So what to speak in this little earth planet? All over the universe, the Lord and his eternal consort are worshipped as the supreme enjoyers. We offer them bhoga, and then we receive their prasadam. They are the enjoyers, we are the enjoyed. But here is that Lakshmi Narayan taking the role of being the enjoyed. Eager to serve. And they lived such a simple way. Vrindavan Das Thakur explains, they were so charitable. Whatever Nimai was given for his teaching, never charged anything. But if people gave him, he would offer it to his mother. And his mother wouldn't keep anything. Then after offering it to his mother, he would just distribute it. Anybody who needed anything that he had, he just gave it. And if anybody came to his house, he treated them like Krishna was coming to their house. He was emphatic on this point, that one of the prime dharmas of a grihastha is to be generous, not to be greedy, not to be selfish, to be an instrument of Krishna's compassion with whatever we have. And Lord Chaitanya, sometimes he would meet 20 sannyasis, and he'd say, "Why don't you come to my house for prasad?" And they would say, "Oh yes, Nimai, of course." And he would send a message, "Sachimata, Lakshmi Priya, in half hour, 20 sannyasis will be for prasad." Now, two things are interested in this arrangement. One is, they never had anything in the house. They would just get what they needed. And they didn't have money. And two is, for those of you who have the experience, sannyasis eat a lot. I remember I went to Himalayas and I was trying to become a yogi and be with yogis, and I was thinking, yogis, I was fasting, just eating one carrot a day for so many days, and I was thinking, this is the way yogis live, because that was my conception according to books I was reading. And then after I did that for about a month, you know, I remember near the Swaraga Ashram, there was an utsav. They call it Pangat, Sadhu Pangat, where they invited the sadhus for some guru's disappearance day. And there were hundreds of them. It's amazing. If you want to see a lot of sadhus, go to a Pangat, where they're serving a feast. So many sadhus. Some had shaved heads, some had matted hairs, big beards. They all had different types of tilaks. They had different kinds of tridents and staffs and dandas and sticks, drums, different kinds of pots to beg food. Some of them were really big. Some of them were just little coconut shells. But I was thinking, you know, sadhus, hundreds of them were all sitting in lines. I was thinking, well, I'll get a carrot. That's what sadhus eat. They were coming with buckets of rice and buckets of sabjis and buckets of sweet rice and buckets of malpuras. They love, sadhus love malpuras. And buckets of dal and buckets of halava. And they were eating so much. Some of them looked like they were about 100 years old. But they were eating the most. And 500 years ago, I think people had even better appetites than as Kali Yuga progresses. So he would just make this, just send a message, 20 sannyasis coming, half hour. And, oh, Sachi Mata and Lakshmi Priya, we're so happy we get to serve sannyasis, we get to serve sannyasis. Well, there's nothing in the house, we have no time, and we have no money, where are we going to get it? Well, they just knew something would happen. And just moments after the message come, someone would just come to the house. Vrindavan Das Thakur even says, he doesn't know who they were, where they came from. Someone would just come to the house and say, oh, you know, I wanted to bring you some ingredients for... And there it was. And they cooked happily. And when all the sannyasis would come, Nimai would personally serve them all. And even just the common people of Navadvip, if anyone came to his house, they were there to provide. Because the tendency of this material world is when we work. We become attached, and we want to accumulate more and more and more and more and more. Sarvalokamaheshwaram. To be peaceful in life is to understand that Krishna is the enjoyer of everything. And Krishna is the proprietor of everything. And Krishna is the dearest friend. And if Krishna is pleased, that's all. Samsidhir Haritosha. So what an example he led. And he would just love to serve. Even though he was the most celebrated, famous scholar in the high seat of all scholarship in the whole world, he loved to serve. And Lakshmi was always busy, constantly. She was worshiping Tulsi, she was worshiping the deities in the temple, she was cleaning, she was cooking, she was just assisting in every possible way. And Sachimata was so happy to see them, how they were living together. Meanwhile, as Nimai was teaching, at that time, and he had a very special purpose, which we're going to discuss at some length a little later. Nimai, he would speak about everything except Krishna. He was a grammar teacher, topmost grammar teacher, but he could speak from any scripture on any subject. And he would be constantly, even the senior most Bhattacharyas, Mishras, Chakravartis, he would just, anywhere that they would meet him, he would challenge them to a debate. And nobody could debate him. He'd say, ask me a question. They'd ask him a question. And then he'd say something. And he'd say, try to defeat that. And they would try, and he would defeat, and they would say something, and he would defeat, and after he would defeat, then he would defeat himself, then he would defeat how he defeated himself, then he would defeat how he defeated himself, and like that. I'll give you an example. Murari Gupta. He was much older than Nimai. He was also a student of Ganga Das Pandit. And he was such a scholar. He was Hanuman, an Amsa of Shiva. When devotees would see Nimai, they would often run away. Because devotees, they loved Nimai. They were absolutely in love with him, but they didn't know he was Krishna. But devotees love to talk about Krishna. They don't like to talk about mundane things. But Nimai would always get them involved in an argument about mundane subjects. So they would just want to get away. But at the same time, they never wanted to leave him. This was the dynamics of how Nimai would conquer their hearts. It's incredible. So he met Murari Gupta. He said, Murari, I have some questions for you. Murari said, why are you so arrogant? You're always challenging people. You're always trying to defeat and conquer people. Why are you so arrogant about this? And Nimai said, you haven't answered my question. You'd ask him. They would debate. Murari Gupta was really a scholar. They would go back and forth and go back and forth, and by Krishna's own, by Nimai's own arrangement, neither one could defeat the other. And this went on sometimes for hours. And then Nimai touched Murari Gupta. With that touch, suddenly, Murari Gupta's love for Ram, he was a devotee of Ram, it exploded uncontrollably in his heart. Suddenly all of his hairs were standing on end, his limbs were trembling, tears started pouring from his eyes. He was in total ecstasy just because this little Nimai touched him. And he was thinking, who is this Nimai?
Is he the supreme personality of Godhead? Is he my worshipable Lord? I don't know. But I can't give up his association. I love this boy.
And then he turned to Nimai and said, Nimai, from this day on, I will be your student.
He was 20 years older and one of the greatest scholars in the world.
There was a student about Murari Gupta's age. His name was Raghunath. He was a direct student of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. After Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya went to Jagannath Puri, he left his school in the trust of people like Raghunath and others. He took Sarvabhauma's book that he wrote, his teachings, is called Chintamoni, on the Nyaya philosophy, which expanded Nyaya philosophy beyond anything the world has ever seen. And Raghunath wrote a book on the basis of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's teachings. And according to the recent biographers, they say, to this day, even in the 20th and 21st centuries, this is still considered the authoritative, most popular book on the subject in all of Bengali. So he spent years writing this book. So much research, so much dedication. This was his life, that the legacy he was leaving for the world. And one day, he was on a boat crossing the Ganga, and Nimai happened to be on the boat with him. And they were talking. And he asked Nimai what he was doing, and Nimai said, oh, I wrote a book on the Nyaya philosophy. Nimai put a tremendous amount of energy into writing this book too. And when Raghunath heard that, he didn't say anything. His face sank. And Nimai could understand. Raghunath was thinking, if Nimai Pandit wrote a book on Nyaya, nobody will ever read my book. His book will be the ultimate. There'll be no need for anything else. So he felt really, really sad. And Nimai smiled. He said, I want people to read your book. So Nimai took his entire manuscript. And please understand, in those days, manuscripts were not typed on laptop computers. They were etched in palm leaves. Nimai took his book, thick book, threw it in the Ganga. This was his respect. This was his compassion. A simple question. Don't you wish we still had that book written by Lord Chaitanya? Say Hari Bol if you would like that book. But from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's perspective, for all time to come, for all people, a more valuable contribution that he gave to the world than that incredible literary scholarship literature that he wrote was the example of how he was to throw his own fame as a great scholar into the Ganga so that somebody else could get it. One day, a sannyasi happened to travel into Navadvip. He just looked like a very common beggar because he was dressed in really, really simple, old sannyasi kind of clothes. And he was alone. And he was just very unassuming, extremely simple. And he came right to Advaitacharya's house here in Navadvip, near Srivasangam. And Advaitacharya was sitting and doing his puja. And he saw this sannyasi. And at first he was thinking, is he a Mayavadi? Kind of looks like one. And then he was thinking, but he's so effulgent. Something very mysterious and mystical about this sannyasi. So Advaitacharya was gazing at him, trying to figure out, who is this person? He's dressed like an impersonalistic beggar sannyasi, but he has a certain energy that's so deeply attractive. At that moment, Mukunda Dutt, the favorite kirtan singer of all the devotees. It is described when Mukunda Dutt, a great devotee, the brother of Vasudev Dutt from Chattagram, when he would sing kirtan, the spiritual world would descend. Devotees' hearts would melt. Their love for Krishna became uncontrollable when he... All that there was the holy names of the Lord. He started to sing some beautiful verses from the Srimad Bhagavatam. And as he was singing the glories of Krishna, this stranger sannyasi, he cried out the name of Krishna. Tears poured like torrents and he rolled in the ground. And Advaitacharya picked him up and put the sannyasi on his lap. And then he realized this was the great, the famous Ishwarapuri. Living in such a simple way. People understood who Ishwarapuri was. One of the great disciples of Madhavendra Puri. When Madhavendra Puri was in his last days, Ishwarapuri for years traveled with Madhavendra Puri as his personal assistant. And during his last days, Madhavendra Puri, very similar to the stories we heard from my senior godbrothers on Prabhupada's disappearance day, the way Srila Prabhupada was. He couldn't walk. He couldn't sit up. They had to help him with everything. And devotees were always around Prabhupada, either, you know, speaking Bhagavatam, having him speak Bhagavatam, or having kirtan. So Ishwarapuri was bathing the body of his guru. He was cleaning with his own hands, with a grateful heart, the urine and stool from the body of his guru. He considered what a privilege this is to render such menial service. And please understand that Ishwarapuri was a powerful scholar, a great spiritual leader, who was qualified to have millions of disciples himself. But this is the way a Vaishnava is. A Vaishnava is not interested in being a Jagat Guru. A Vaishnava is interested in being the servant of the servant of the servant, in whatever capacity Krishna wants us to serve. So with such love, such gratitude, he was serving his guru. And he was constantly speaking about Krishna to him, constantly chanting Krishna's names to him. And Madhavendra Puri was so pleased with him. Just before he left this world, Madhavendra Puri turned to Ishwara Puripad and said, "My child, may Krishna bless you with ecstatic love." This blessing poured from his heart with such affection. And that was Ishwara Puri's qualification. Madhavendra Puri had disciples like Pundarik Vidyanidhi, Nityananda Prabhu, Advaitacharya, Paramananda Puri, Brahmananda Puri, so many others. Lord Chaitanya specifically chose Ishwara Puri later to be his guru. But at this time, everybody knew who he was. Advaitacharya was his godbrother. Advaitacharya considered him his most exalted godbrother because he rendered such a humble service. So the devotees celebrated with beautiful kirtan the arrival of Ishwara Puri. And Gadadhar Pandit, who was about the same age as Lord Chaitanya, he was always a devotee. Humble, simple, renounced. He would spend hours and hours a day learning from Ishwara Puri. And Ishwara Puri was staying at Gopinathacharya's house. One day Ishwara Puri was walking along the bank of the Ganga and he met Nimai. Something happened in Ishwara Puri's heart. This boy is so spiritually beautiful. He said, "Tell me, who are you?" And he said, "My name is Nimai Pandit." "Oh, you are the famous Nimai Pandit." And Lord Chaitanya invited, "Please come to my house for prasad." Sachi Mata Lakshmi Priya cooked so nicely, and Nimai with his own hands served this great sannyasi. And he asked Ishwara Puri, "Please tell us about Krishna." And for the rest of the day, Ishwara Puri was speaking beautiful stories about the philosophy, the teachings, the Leela of Krishna. So each day, he was reading from a book he was writing called the Krishna Leelamrita. And Nimai would come for about an hour each day and talk to him. And one day, Ishwara Puri said to Nimai, "That you are such a good scholar. Will you correct the mistakes in my book?" Nimai was very eager to correct everyone's mistakes. And he could find a mistake anywhere, everywhere. And write, if he wanted to, he could write volumes of books on every little mistake. But he just did it with his words. But when Ishwara Puri said this, Nimai said, "You are a pure devotee of Krishna. Everything you do is for the pleasure of Krishna. Because everything you do is in the service for the pleasure of Krishna, there cannot be any mistake in whatever you do. And if any materialistic person is so foolish to think that there's a mistake, just because on a material plane it's not the correct way of doing things, it's a great offense because it's done with love for Krishna." And we should understand this very carefully. When a devotee is sincerely serving Krishna, we may have to correct people if they're not doing things right, but we should always remember, if they're sincerely doing it for Krishna on a deeper level, we have to honor and respect them. So he said, "I cannot find a mistake in anything you do because whatever you do is with love.
And Ishwarapuri was so pleased to hear that Nimai was actually appreciating devotional service, something he didn't verbally do with anyone else. He said, but still, what you're saying about devotional service is very good, but for the people in the general public, you know, they will be able to understand and accept these teachings better if it's edited properly. So Nimai came every day. A few days later, Nimai said, there is one inconsistency that I see in a particular verb that you're using. Atmanepada. He said it should be a different verb. Ishwarapuri said, all right. Then Nimai left and went home. And Ishwarapuri, he was a great scholar himself. He thought so carefully about it. When the next day, when Nimai came, Ishwarapuri said, actually, the verb that I wrote was correct. There's no problem with it. The first time in the history of his lila that he personally accepted defeat. And he was so happy. Even when Srila Prabhupada was the world founder Acharya of ISKCON, with such loving emotion in his heart, he would remember his first meeting with Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, you are intelligent young man. You should take the message of Lord Chaitanya and spread it all over the world in the English language. And Srila Prabhupada was a very strong follower of Gandhi at the time. He was wearing khadi. In those days, if you wore khadi, it was a direct challenge against the entire British Empire. That means you are a follower of Gandhi. And you had to be brave to wear khadi, because you were standing against the entire established government. You were basically saying, through the way you looked, Britain, get out. We don't want you. You are cheaters. You are exploiters. Out from here. They had all the military. They had all the police. They were running all the governments. They were running all the schools. Strong statement. Even Gandhi said, don't take your degrees from your colleges because they're controlled by the British. Prabhupada wouldn't take his degree. So Prabhupada said to his Gurudev, how is it that people will take Lord Chaitanya's mission seriously all over the world if India is still a subjugated country? First we must gain independence. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur very strongly replied that the only real problem in the world is a lack of Krishna consciousness. Political parties always change. The truth is we are eternal souls. We are part and parcel of Krishna. We are eternal servants of Krishna. The real problems are birth, old age, disease, and death. And this is what Lord Chaitanya has come to teach us. Liberation from bondage. Liberation from ignorance. Liberation from death. And Srila Prabhupada, with bliss in his expression, he would say, I was very happy to be defeated by my Guru Maharaj. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very happy to be defeated by Ishwarapuri. After some days, Ishwarapuri left Navadvipa. And Nehemiah, after he would teach his students, he would get up early in the morning, he would take his bath, he would worship Tulsi and worship his Shalagram Shila at home. Then he would go back to the Ganga in the house of Mukunda Sanjay. He would have different places where he would teach his students. And he had thousands and thousands and thousands of students at a time because he was so popular. People were coming from all directions to study under the great Nimai Pandit. Afterward, he would sometimes wander around Navadvip. And our scriptures tell us these beautiful, sweet stories of how, by his yoga maya potency, nobody understood that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But he would give them the ecstasies of love for Krishna just by their attachment to him. He would go to a garland maker, a little shop. And the garland maker would say, "What would you like? Have a seat in my little store." And Nehemiah would say, "Give me your best garlands, malas." And the person would come out with the very, very best garlands of the most fragrant flowers that he took so long to prepare. And he showed it to Nehemiah. And Nehemiah said, "How much does it cost?" And the person would say, "You just take it and whatever you want to give for it." And Nehemiah said, "I don't have any money." He'd say, "Well, you just take it anyway. And and if you like it, if ever you get money any other time, you know, you can give it. And if you don't, just enjoy the garland." And he would give it unconditionally, and Nehemiah would be very happy, and he'd walk away. Then he would go to another little shop where the person was producing perfumed oils. And he'd say, "Oh, Nehemiah, please come sit down." He said, "What can I do for you?" Nehemiah would say, "Let me see your best, most expensive of all oils." And he would bring the oils, and he would say, "How much is it?" And he would say, "You don't have to pay anything." He said, "Let me put the oil on you." Nehemiah said, "I don't have any money." He said, "That's all right." He said, "I'll give you this whole bottle of oil, and while you're here, I'll put the oil on you, I'll rub it on your body, and you go home, and you put it on yourself, and the next few days, you take your baths, and if a whole day later, after your three baths, the oil is still fragrant on your body, then you could come and give me whatever you like, and otherwise, just enjoy it and don't give me anything." This is the way he was charming their hearts. You see, it's not that Nehemiah wanted to take anything from them. He's Lakshminath. He's the husband of the goddess of fortune. He was giving them. Because how does God give us love? The crest jewel of all treasures. Premadan. He gives us the ecstasy of prema bhakti by giving us the chance to serve. Because in that service, that love awakens. In that service, we appreciate Krishna reveals himself. He went to an all-seeing yogi sage who was famed throughout Navadvip that he worshipped Lord Gopal. And by chanting his Gopal mantra, he could go in trance and see what is your past life and tell you all your past lives. So Nehemiah went to his house. And the person saw him and think, "How beautiful, how sweet, how wonderful this boy is." And Nehemiah smiled and said, "Oh, divine seer, please tell me who I was in my past lives." So the person closed his eyes and started chanting his Gopal mantra. It never failed. He chanted this mantra so precisely and so well that anybody who came before him, he would have visions of their past lives. So as he was chanting his Gopal mantra, Nimai was standing in front of him, his eyes were closed. He saw this beautiful forearm form holding a conch shell and a disc and a lotus flower and a club, and he had a Kostubha mani on his chest, and he had a beautiful complexion like a sapphire, like a monsoon cloud. And he was in a pitch dark prison cell. And he saw Vasudeva and Devaki offering prayers to him. And then he saw this four-arm form turn into a little beautiful two-arm form. And he saw this person, Vasudeva, pick him up and take him across the Yamuna. He was watching. This is all being enacted in his mind. And he took him and laid him on Yashodamai's bed. Then his meditation shifted. And he saw this beautiful little boy, complexion like a tamal tree, with swarthing hair like peacock, like crow feathers around his beautiful, beautiful face. And he was eating butter. Just eating butter, more and more butter. This was the Gopal that the devotee worshipped. And then that transformed, and he was seeing the threefold bending form of Gopinath playing upon his flute with a peacock feather adorning his head. And the divine seer was completely bewildered and confused and was thinking, what's happening? I'm seeing my Lord Gopal, I'm seeing all these things. But I have my service. My service is to tell this boy who he is. Gopal, you're giving me all this mercy, revealing yourself to me, but who is this boy? Who is this boy? And then he went deeper and deeper into chanting the mantra, and he saw Lord Ram with the complexion of durba grass hoeing a bow, and next to him was Sita, Lakshman, Hanuman. In the meditation, he saw Varahadev, this big giant boar with the earth planet in his tusks. Then he saw Narasingadev. He saw Narasingadev tearing apart Hiranyakashipu and then blissfully putting his hand on Prahlad's head and giving Prahlad satisfaction. He was thinking, you know, my Lord, you know, I just want to know who this boy is. I don't know why I'm getting all these mystical experiences. He saw Matsya, a giant fish, blissfully playing in the ocean of devastation. And then he saw Lord Balaram with his plow moving Yamuna from one place to another in Vrindavan. And then in his meditation, there was Jagannath and Balaram with Subhadra Devi in the middle between them. At this point, this Brahmin was completely confused, completely disoriented, and he was praying. He was intensely chanting his mantra, praying to Gopal, I don't know what I'm seeing. I don't know why I'm seeing. I'm getting all your darshans. But who is this boy? I want to know who this boy is. And as he's thinking like this in complete bewilderment, Nimai said, please tell me. Why are you not telling me? What do you see? What do you see? Who was I in my past life? And he opened his eyes and saw little Nimai, and his heart melted. He was speechless. He said, my child, he said, I need to do some research. you just go home, and I will chant my mantras, and I will pray, and I will meditate, and come back this afternoon, and I'll tell you who you were. And Nimai smiled and went on. In this way, every day, Nimai was wandering and conquering the hearts of everyone through these very, very simple, loving exchanges. Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhakta prayachchati. Krishna tells in Gita, if you offer me even a fruit, a flower, a leaf, or a little water, with devotion, I accept it. So Nimai was giving everyone the opportunity for the highest devotional service. Even though they didn't know it, they were getting all the benefits and more. Meanwhile, Nimai was such a devotee. All the scholars of Navadvipa honored him as the greatest, even though he was only a teenager. But the devotees, they irresistibly felt so sorry for him. They would approach him and say, Nimai, why are you wasting your life? Scholarship without devotion for Krishna is useless. At the time of death, you lose all your credibility, all your fame, all your scholarship. The only thing we really have is our love for Krishna. Use your great scholarship for the love of Krishna. The devotees would gather daily and pray. We love this Nimai so much, but we don't want to be near him because he's always challenging us. And they would pray Krishna, and they would do kirtan together for the special purpose, praying Krishna make Nimai a devotee. If he becomes a devotee, he can make the whole world bhaktis. Meanwhile, one day, the Digvijay Pandit came to Navadvip. One of the very, very important stories in this narration. He was a scholar. When he entered the city, Nimai was sitting on the bank of the Ganga with his students. And they told him, today, Digvijay, Keshav Kashmiri, has entered Navadvip. Nimai said, oh, yes, tell me. And they started telling him. They said, he's famous throughout the world as the favorite most devotee of the goddess of learning, Saraswati. And it is said that every time he speaks, Saraswati appears on his tongue to speak wisdom, knowledge that cannot be defeated. He is so proud that he's traveled all around the entire India to every place of learning, to every holy place. He has challenged every scholar. He's defeated them all, and he has a Jayapatra, where once he defeats you, humiliates you, then you have to sign, I have been defeated and I surrender to Keshav Kashmiri. And now he's come to Navadvip. And do you want to hear how he's come? He has elephants marching in front of him. He has highly decorated, beautiful horses. He rides on an ornamented palanquin. He has musicians playing beautiful ragas, and he has Brahmins chanting mantras. This is his entourage wherever he goes, and now he's in Navadvip. And all the scholars of Navadvip are in total anxiety. Why? Because who can defeat Goddess Saraswati? He's going to challenge them. They have no hope of defending themselves. And when they're defeated, Navadvip will lose all its credibility. And if all the scholars of Navadvip will have no importance anymore. You see, all the great scholars of Navadvip, they were so popular because they were in Navadvip. But this place and everyone in it will lose all of its reputation when he defeats us. And nobody wanted to go near him. The greatest of the scholars of Navadvip were literally hiding because they did not want to be the one to be humiliated. So the students are telling this to Nimai. And Nimai smiled. He said, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, does not tolerate false pride. He said, a great person is like a tree. When a tree has many, many fruits on it, or when a person has the fruits of many good qualities, they're always bowing down low to everyone. But a person who's standing very straight means they don't have good qualities. Look at Banasura, Ravana, Nahusha. So many people had such power, such wealth, so many followers, but because they had false pride, ultimately they were crushed. And similarly, this person, Krishna, will crush his pride into fine powder. The students listened. And then Nimai was thinking in his own heart, how to defeat him without humiliating him. Because this man is so proud that if I defeat him in public, he will be so disgraced that he will die. He will not be able to live. It will be worse than death to him. I must defeat him. I must crush his pride without hurting him or humiliating him. And as Nimai was meditating on this, everything started being orchestrated. It turned the evening. The full moon was rising over the Ganga, and Nimai had brought about 1,000 or more students with him. They were all sitting on the bank of the Ganga. And Nimai was sitting in the Virasan. And he was speaking to his students about the rules of grammar. And Digvijay Pandit just happened to walk by. And he saw this large group of young students. And he saw their enthusiasm and their affection for the teacher. So he came a little closer. And he saw Nimai, who was so beautiful, so sweet, so elegant in every way. Now the Digvijay Pandit, he was the favorite, most worshipper of Saraswati. And Saraswati gave him a benediction. She actually came before his eyes one day when he was chanting her mantra. And she said, I will give you the benediction that you want. You will conquer everybody in the world in debate. No one will be able to challenge you. So he was so confident. He had no fear of anyone. But here was this teenage boy, and he came closer. First his heart was charmed, then he felt afraid. This was something very disoriented, never happened to him. He came closer.
into the group of students, and Nimai saw him and smiled and said, "Please have a seat, sir." And Nimai praised him. He said, "Oh, you are the great Digvijay Keshava Kashmiri. We have heard so many things about you. Everyone in Navadvip is talking about you. We welcome you into our assembly. We're so fortunate you came to meet us." And then they talked about a few things. And then Nimai said, "With great respect," he said, "since you're here and you're the greatest of all devotees of Saraswati, the highest scholar of the world, please compose a poem in praise of Mother Ganga." Keshav Kashmiri began to speak. It was unbelievable. He spoke like the wind. Beautiful, ornamented poetry, original, never heard before. He was just making it up on the spot. Was pouring out of his mouth like Mother Ganga herself, praising Mother Ganga. It went on and on and on, and all the students, they had never heard anything like this. There was total silence in utter amazement. This was beyond human. How could anyone just compose right on the spot such beautiful poetry? And there was, he spoke for 3 continuous hours without a single second break between any 2 words. And finally, after 3 hours of this poem he composed, he stopped. And all the students were, unbelievable, amazing. That was incredible. This person is not human. And Nimai smiled and said, "Thank you very much. That was so nice. Now can you, your poetry is so advanced that nobody can understand anything that's being said." This is how he would defeat people. He would speak such high philosophy, such high poetry, with such high words that people couldn't even understand what it meant. So he said, "This is the greatness of your poetry, Lord Chaitanya." He was kind of, in his own way, a little sarcastic. He said, "Your poetry is so great, it's so exalted, nobody can understand what you're saying. Can you explain it to us?" So he said, "Yes," and he started explaining. As soon as he started explaining, Nimai just cut right in. He said, "I have found in your explanation," just beginning, "that there is a mistake at the beginning, in the middle, and in the end. Can you explain both the good points of your poetry, and also I want to hear, you know, about the mistakes and why you made them?" Nobody had ever said that Keshav Kashmiri made a mistake. It's like a direct insult to Goddess Saraswati to say that he made a mistake. And here is the person who has the wisdom to counter any argument and destroy any opposition. And Keshav Kashmiri went blank. He couldn't think of anything to say. And then somehow or other he started saying something to defend himself with the mistakes that Lord Chaitanya pointed out. And he tried, but he was just kind of bumbling like an ordinary, you know, confused person. And everything he said, Lord Chaitanya was very sweetly, very nicely defeating. And then he just stood there, completely silent. Not a single thought would come to his mind. He was totally defeated. And all the children around started smiling and laughing. This is Digvijay Pandit. And Nimai said, "No, no, be quiet." Because he didn't want to humiliate him. And then Nehemiah said, well, it's understandable that you're having trouble answering my questions, because after all, you know, you just 3 hours you composed that poetry, you must be very tired. But I now go home, take rest, study your books, and come back tomorrow and I'll have more questions for you. He just shook his head and went home where he was staying. He felt totally betrayed. He was thinking, Goddess Saraswati personally stood before me and promised me that no one will ever defeat me. I was defeated. I've defeated the greatest scholars of Nyaya, Sankhya, Mimamsa, Vaisheshika, Vedanta, all the different systems. And today, how is this possible? I've gone to Gaya, I've gone to Mithila, I've gone to Kashi, I've gone to Srirangam and Kanchipuram, I've gone to Mathura, I've been to every place in India and defeated all the greatest, senior, most mature scholars. And today, I was defeated by a young boy who's just a grammar teacher for other young boys. Have I committed some aparadh to my goddess Saraswati? Why has she betrayed me? In this state, he started chanting his mantra desperately to get the answer. How did this happen? I went totally blank. And then he fell asleep. And during Brahma Muhurta, Saraswati appeared to him, not in a dream, but in a vision. And she said, when I gave you that promise that you would never be defeated, I was always with you. Every time you open your mouth, I was on your tongue. But this boy, Nimai Pandit, he is Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's the Supreme Absolute Truth, the cause of all causes. I am an expansion of Lakshmi Devi. And Lakshmi Devi worships the feet of Nimai. I am only his insignificant servant of the servant of his maid servant. Before him, I have no power to stand. Ananta Shesha, who with his mouth speaks all the Vedas, he becomes silent before the Lord. Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, all the devatas, they become silent when they are before the Lord. You should understand this, that the true benediction that I gave you was fulfilled today. Because the purpose of all knowledge is not to be a conquering champion. The purpose of all knowledge is to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And today you saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the fruit of my blessing to you. Now go to him immediately and surrender your life. But do not tell anyone except him what I have told you. And then she disappeared. And right after she disappeared, he woke up. The sun was rising.
And he immediately ran to Nimai's house and came to Nimai's door and was offering his dandavat obeisances. And Nimai said, "What are you doing?" And he explained that, "I understand you're the Supreme Lord. I was so proud. I was trying to defeat you. I surrender my heart to you. Please instruct me. The goddess Saraswati herself told me this." And Nimai told him that the goal of all knowledge is to surrender to the Supreme Lord. "Now give up all your arrogance. Give up all your attachment to these pratishta, fame, prestige, and all this wealth that you're just trying to enjoy but cannot enjoy anything." He said, "I give you three instructions. Renounce your false pride. Worship Krishna and be merciful to all living beings." Digvijay Pandit offered his obeisances and wept tears. And when he got up, Nimai embraced him. And with that embrace, he blessed him with the ultimate perfection of life. And without saying anything to anyone, without even putting his shoes back on, he left Navadvip alone. He left all his gold and all his silver and all his elephants and all of his thousands of followers and bands and Brahmins and palanquins and just wandered the world, always remembering Krishna, never forgetting Krishna, absorbed in chanting the holy name. He was happy. After he left and the news spread all over Navadvip, the little Nimai Pandit totally defeated him. Another thing, this is very important, another thing that Digvijay Pandit told to Nimai at that moment of surrender, he said, "You totally crushed my false pride without hurting me. You totally defeated me without humiliating me. Only the Supreme Personality of Godhead could do that." And Vrindavan Das Thakur, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, they explain, this is how he defeated all the great scholars of Navadvip and anywhere. He would make them happy to be defeated because he did it with such respect, with such affection, with such grace. He brought everyone happiness because his purpose was based on love for them. It's like we heard stories of Srila Prabhupada. Sometimes he was so kind, so generous, so encouraging to his followers. And sometimes to teach them a good lesson that they needed to learn, he was very strong. Sometimes soft like a rose, and on occasions like a thunderbolt. He would chastise. But his chastise would not break them. It would nourish them because they knew it was coming from such sweet, intimate love for them and compassion. Because we understood so clearly that more than anyone else in creation, he loves us and cares about us. If chastisement is coming from that place, on the mental point, it may hurt, but in the heart, it makes us very happy because we feel that love.
If someone is arrogant, if someone is envious, and they conquer us in that way or chastise us, it simply hurts. But Nimai, he could crush the pride of Keshav Kashmiri and anyone else into the finest powder, and their hearts would be happy because he did it with such deep care, love, and compassion.
And to the degree we're really connected to Krishna,
we strive to be Vaishnavas in that spirit. No pride, no envy, no greed, no pratistha, desire for prestige, no desire to be on top of anyone else, but simply a loving servant. That is Vaishnava.
Soon after this, Nimai told his mother and his good wife, Lakshmi Priya, "I'm going to Bangladesh." In those days, it was called East Bengal. So Nimai went with a group of his students. When they arrived, the people of East Bengal were so happy. Nimai saw the Padmavati River, beautiful wide river with wonderful forests on either side. And the water was so crystal clear and clean, and the waves were swirling, almost dancing. And Nimai was thrilled to see the famous river Padmavati, and took his bath. And from that day on, the Padmavati River became none different than the Ganga, because Nimai and his friends performed their leelas in that river.
The news spread so fast, like a wildfire, that the great Nimai Pandit of Navadvip has come to East Bengal.
Because in those days, and even today, East Bengal, it was a very poor place materially. People had very little funds, very simple.
Thousands and thousands and thousands of people were coming to Nimai begging, "Please teach us." And Nimai came just to teach them.
And they were saying, "All of the students of East Bengal are saving whatever little they have so that they could someday go to Navadvip to study under the great Nimai Pandit. That's the goal of everyone here. But it's so hard for us to go, and so few can. But you are so kind that you have come here." And he taught literally every single person who approached him for free of charge. Thousands of people at each of his classes. They were so grateful. This is a very, very important principle. Knowledge can be transmitted in a very effective way when the students are deeply grateful for what they're receiving and very hungry to receive it. And when the teacher deeply, genuinely cares for the students.
Wherever we find Krishna and Arjuna in the Gita, Parikshit and Shukadev in the Bhagavatam, Maitreya Rishi and Uddhava, wherever there's the transmission of transcendental knowledge, we find this very, very special combination. The student is eager to hear and deeply grateful. And the teacher genuinely cares.
Srila Prabhupada said, to be a good teacher, first you have to be a good student. That means, tadvidhi pranipatina pariprasnena seva, to be submissive. To be eager to serve. To be deeply grateful and humble. And thirsty to receive that knowledge. And when we receive knowledge in that spirit, then gradually we become qualified to be teachers when we deeply, genuinely care to enlighten people's hearts, to serve them. In bhakti, the teacher is the humblest servant. So this was the setting. Even though, and it's explained in our scripture, Lord Chaitanya was not, he was just teaching them grammar. He was not teaching them directly bhakti. But every single one of his students and all the people who had any connection with any of his students, in due course of time, by their association with Lord Chaitanya, after he established the Sankirtan movement, every one of those people in East Bengal became total, faithful, pure lovers of Krishna, constantly chanting the holy name. They loved him. They surrendered to him. And when he came back to Navadvipa and sometime later they heard about the Sankirtan movement, that was their life and their soul. What usually takes an average of 12 years to master the subjects that he was teaching them, every one of his students mastered the subject and was given a degree in less than 2 months. That's what kind of teacher he was. And it wasn't like these, you know, degrees that, you know, you forge or something like that. If it's a degree from Nimai Pandit, if you get it in 1 week, if you have a degree from Nimai Pandit, it is more exalted, more prestigious, more honored than even if you studied for 100 years under anyone else. And all these people were going, people were coming and going and coming and going and coming and going, and Nimai was just giving and giving and giving. And then it was time for him to return to Navadvipa. And he announced that he'll be leaving. So many of his students, they were so grateful. Even though they were very poor people, most all of them, the best things they had in their house they were bringing as gifts for him. These simple people. They were bringing gold and silver and jewels and pots and silks and blankets, whatever they had, they just wanted to give it all to Nimai. And Nimai wasn't there to earn anything. He was just there to give. Ultimately, he was there to give love of God, because everyone who was his students got that in due course of time. He accepted it all for their benefit. It was the greatest pleasure of their hearts that he would accept their offerings. So for their satisfaction and for their purification, he accepted. But it's described when he went home, he didn't keep any of it. Meanwhile, there was a particular Brahmin. He was very learned and very serious. His name, Tapan Mishra. This Tapan Mishra was an elderly gentleman. He was going deeper into studying scriptures. He was going from scholar to scholar, sadhu to sadhu, yogi to yogi, guru to guru, asking the same question. What is the true goal of life and how to achieve it? And despite all his studies and all of his meetings, he never felt that he got a satisfactory answer. He was so hungry, so thirsty for that truth. He yearned, he prayed, he cried for his answers to be revealed. He had no material attachments. He just wanted to know, what is really the goal of life? And how do I get there? He prayed and prayed. And on the night before Nimai Pandit was going to leave East Bengal, he had a dream. In this dream, a divine personality appeared to him and said, go to Nimai Pandit immediately. He is Bhagavan. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He will tell you what is the goal of life and how to achieve it. But do not tell anyone that I said this. The next day, as Nimai was about to leave East Bengal and he was surrounded by all these thousands of people who were just weeping and in gratitude and just offering him the best of everything they had and offer their obeisances and just giving them their hearts. You see, in bhakti, Srila Prabhupada explains, Krishna doesn't accept the thing that you offer. He accepts the purpose in which it is offered. These people were offering with love. And therefore Nimai was accepting with love. And as this was going on, all of a sudden, this very learned senior Brahmin, Tapan Mishra, comes and prostrates himself at the feet of Nimai and stands up with folded palms. Said, I have read so many scriptures. I have met so many people. My whole life I've been searching. Please tell me, what is the goal of life and how to achieve it? I believe only you can give me the answer. Everybody was watching and listening. Now, during Nimai's teachings to his students, he was just giving them what they were asking for, grammar. He was in his Nimai Pandit Leela at that time. But because Tapan Mishra was so sincere, in front of everybody, Nimai Pandit spoke the highest truths. One of the first times in his Leela, he really revealed such direct teachings as this. He said, the goal of life is to know Krishna, to worship Krishna with pure, unalloyed devotion. Everything in this world is temporary, except that. At the time of death, all your knowledge, all your wealth, everything will leave you. But in this valuable human form of life, we have the chance to awaken that divine love that is within our hearts. And how to attain that pure, unalloyed, unselfish love for Krishna? How to attain that pure desire to serve Krishna with devotion?
Krishna appears in this world to teach us.
Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha duskritam dharma samstapanataya sambhavami juge juge. Krishna appears again and again and again to reestablish the principles of religion,
to give pleasure to the hearts of his devotees and to annihilate the miscreants. According to Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said that Krishna has appeared. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has descended into this world. He has come in a white complexion, in a red complexion, in a black complexion, and in a yellow complexion, golden complexion. These are the Yuga avatars. Each Yuga avatar teaches the system that is most effective for self-realization, for awakening love of God in that particular age. And he quoted from the Bhagavad that what one could attain in Satya Yuga through deep, unwavering meditation, in Treta Yuga by spotless performance of sacrifice, in Dwapara Yuga by absolutely accurate, pure worship of the deity, we can achieve that same perfection of pure love of God, of Krishna, in the age of Kali, through the chanting of the holy name. And the Lord himself cited the Brihadnaradiya Purana. Harinama, harinama, harinama eva kevalam kalo nasteva, nasteva, nasteva gatiranyata. In this age of Kali, there is no other way to attain this ultimate highest perfection in such a simple way than the chanting of the names of Hari. Lord Chaitanya said, the goal of life and the process of achieving it is one. To be among other devotees and together to chant Krishna's holy names. And now I will teach you the Maha Mantra. In Lord Chaitanya's biographies, this is the first time Lord Chaitanya specifically teaches this Maha Mantra. He said to Tapan Mishra, repeat after me. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This 16-word, 32-syllable mantra is called the Maha Mantra. It is the most powerful, effective medicine in this age of Kali. This Maha Mantra is called the Maha Mantra because there are many mantras, but all mantras are included in the Maha Mantra, and the Maha Mantra is beyond. He told him, constantly chant these names, worship Krishna, be the servant of the servant. And then he told him, that if you're chanting this mantra, we can never be separated. Tapan Mishra said, he bowed down, he cried in ecstasy. He said, I want to go with you to Navadvipa.
I have nothing left in my life. I want to go with you. He was a Grihastha.
Lord Chaitanya told him, you should go to Varanasi and I will meet you there.
Now this is a serious surrender. He had he understood that Nimai is Krishna. He had surrendered to him. He had developed love for him. He's getting instructions for him. He knew that Nimai was going to be establishing the Sankirtan movement in Navadvip. He wanted to be there. He knew Advaita and Haridas and Srivas and all these great devotees were there. And Varanasi, there was no devotees.
But Nimai said, you go there, I will come later, and I will meet you, and I will explain more to you then. And ultimately, this is love. Not to do what we want, but the will of the Lord.
As the Bible says, let thy will be done.
Tapan Mishra went to Varanasi. And there he had a son who was the great Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, one of the six Goswamis.
As Nimai was leaving, Tapan Mishra said, I want to speak to you privately for just a moment.
So they stepped aside, and Tapan Mishra said, this is the dream I had. And Nimai said, it was a good dream, and it's a true dream, but do not tell anyone. And Nimai returned to where we are sitting today, to Sri Mayapur Dham, after 2 months of separation. We will continue tomorrow. Thank you very much.